Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
There we go. Good morning, everyone. And it's great to see you all, from the youngest to the oldest there. Wee babes. How are we? All well? Still smiling? Brilliant. There's a wee newborn here for people who are online. So the rest of you okay? Brilliant. So it's good to be here. And if you're watching online, there's a lot of people sick this morning and stuff like that. We're praying that you're better. And I'm going to continue in our series on Joseph. And Penny said to me last week that I'm making far too many assumptions in this series. Isn't this right, love? And normally I would say to Penny, what do you think of that talk? Expecting her to say, honest to goodness, I got saved all over again. It was so unbelievably anointed. This time, I need some water. Sorry, love, is that all right? It was just probably the best talk you've ever heard. Now, Penny, I'm not going to embarrass you. Did you say that? No. She said, you're making too many assumptions that people actually know the stories. And I go, of course. Because I assume that people read their Bibles. Do you know what I mean? But then, I brilliant, and there's the lights gone. And sometimes I make assumptions, so I'm not going to do that this morning, and I'm definitely going to teach you a wee bit. Is that all right? Because the next bit of Joseph's story is critical if you want to understand your place and what grace actually means, not just to you, but to the world. Is that all right? And so I will take this a wee bit more slowly, and if you don't really know some of this bits of the Bible, you're going to see it's unbelievable from Genesis 42 all the way through to the end of the story is about when Joseph is confronted with his brothers, the ones who did him in, the ones who, is it my eyes or are the lights going up and down? Because seriously, is that my imagination? No. If we could just agree on something there at the back and just stick with it, that would be brilliant. And so, because otherwise I feel like I'm having a bad trip. Do you know what I mean? And I haven't taken anything. But I'm kind of feeling like, did I take something? And I didn't even know about it because my head is up and down here. Like, there it goes again. Like, straight up, it just needs to stay still, folks. That would be brilliant. And so, is that okay? Like, whoa. I see loads of different people in front of me. So, what I want to say is this, is that you have, those lights are still changing. Sorry, just keep them still because my notes are going all over the place here. So part of your divine purpose this morning, folks, right, is this, is to be, God is going to bring you to a place. So the whole thing of Joseph and his brothers, right, is unbelievable. You know, when people go, the Bible doesn't make any sense for today. When you look at this bit of the story, you go, flip me, it speaks right into today. It speaks right into where we're at today. And the thing is that, you know, part of your purpose, as you sit here today, whatever else is going on in your life, purpose is the reason why you get up in the morning, why God gave you breath. And people are struggling to find that in the world. You know, what's it all about? What's the point? Do I just work for 40 years, 50 years, and then at some point die and go crazy and all the rest of it? And, you know, what is that all about? And so part of our purpose is, a part of your purpose is to be a place. What we're going to see in the story of Joseph is, like, God has put you in a place where your family are going to be blessed because of what grace has done in your life. Do you understand that? It's not by accident. You're not even sitting here this morning by accident. There will be a time, even right now, in these next weeks and whatever, days, months to come, where your family will be changed forever because of what God did in you. Do you understand that? And you might not see it right now, you might not understand it right now, but that is what the Word tells us. And so what we're saying here is that God's always been working. You know the way we say in here, God is working behind the scenes of your life right now? It's not just that he's working in behind the scenes of your life, right? He's working in behind the scenes of your family's life as well, of your loved one's life. And part of the thing that he's working is you. So whenever you have your eyes just stuck on yourself and your eyes just on what you need and your eyes on how you're feeling and your eyes on you, and my life is all about me, you miss the greater purpose and the greater kind of thing that God is weaving together. Because your purpose is way bigger than that. And I'm going to show you that today. There's a point in Genesis 50 at the end of the story where it says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive. This is Joseph at the end of it all. And there's this, I'm going to just take a couple of weeks to go through this interplay that he has with his brothers to explain that it was all about his younger brother Benjamin and growing a generation of God's grace, right? And so what happens is, because Benjamin, if this is a bit where I just assume you know it, so I'm actually going to show you it from the Bible and show you it's like law and grace, the whole thing that our church is about is actually rooted deep into this story. But there's this point in Genesis 50 where Joseph is looking at his brothers and he has the power of life and death over them. And he realizes at this moment that everything, and think about this for yourself, everything that has gone on in your life, you know, people, well, that's like principalities, powers, difficulties, spiritual stuff, family stuff, you know, everything that has gone on and gone through, being part of your story and your history up until now, right? You might have thought, I have just been fighting and battling and doing all sorts. But God, there's a point where you're going to see, right, that no matter what it was, God brought good out of it. He worked it all together for good, and he is working it all together for good. And that's why we can say, like, our theme or our verse for this series has been Exodus 9, verse 6. You know, for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. All right, does that make sense? So let's get cracking into it. And I'm going to just show you that if you're ever in doubt that whether this is about God's law or God's grace or what marks out your generation, what's going to change your family? What's going to change your life or change your family's life? We're going to see, actually, it's God's grace. It's his goodness. And actually, the generation that we live in is called the Benjamin generation because it's the last generation. And so in this last generation, what we're going to see is that it's all about grace. God is emphasizing that his blessing in your life and in your family's life comes through grace. It'll never be found in trying, toiling, working hard to please, all right? And what happens is, actually, you know, there's a famine in the land, right? So let me just teach you a wee bit. There's a famine. Joseph is raised up, and he takes all the food for the 7 years. You know that stuff? Everyone just nod at me. And then what happens is Jacob, the dad, goes, we're starving up here. Go into the land and buy food. And so they're brought in front of him. They're brought in front of Joseph. And what happens is that they're all brought in, and they're expecting punishment. You know, Joseph says, you're spies and all this sort of stuff, and he's just kind of playing with them a little bit, actually. But they're expecting judgment and punishment. But what Joseph says to them in Genesis 43 is, God be gracious to you. So there is a generation today, when they think of God, all they think is they're going to be punished. God is so completely irrelevant. So what they do is they go, God's a mean, tight-fisted, angry old so-and-so who has no bearing on my life. In fact, when the name of God is mentioned or the name of Jesus is mentioned, they're bigoted old fools or young fools. They're not enlightened like we are, right? Because you know the kind of general thought of the day? And so what happens is, because the view has been when you come to God that it's about punishment and judgment. And actually what you see is then whenever the brothers are brought in, the brothers are representative of the 12 tribes. I'm going to come to that in a minute. But when they're brought in, Joseph, the picture of Jesus, says, God be gracious to you. Do you get that? Where they're expecting punishment, they receive grace instead. And that's the generation that we are part of. Now, where does it come from? Because that's what the Spirit is saying to the church today. God be gracious to you. If there was ever a time today that people needed to hear that they are loved independently of who they are, that righteousness does not mean right behavior. Righteousness means a gift given to you by God himself through the work of Jesus so that we can stand today whole, healed, loved with hope and a future. If there's ever a time that we need to hear that, it's right now. And so that's what the Spirit is saying to the church today. That's why you have been raised up. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your own circumstances. Because like I've said time after time, for this purpose, God has raised you up. Because this is a generation where God is saying, I want to be gracious to them. Instead of anger and judgment, they will have favor because of Jesus, because of my son. And that's why you have been given breath. That's why you're born for such a time as this. Do you get that? Now, I think that's very exciting. I think that's really good. You know, I think that what we're going to see is in this picture of the brothers, You know, these are the brothers who chucked him into the pit, right? And there's 12 of them, but we're going to see there's a difference between some, because Benjamin and Joseph are different to the other 10. And some of you might not know that, but let me explain it. So this is why we're talking about grace, all right? We're going to talk about grace, and we're going to talk about it. Let me say this. In Hebrews 8, 7 to 9, it says, But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Right? I think we need to be grateful in the days that we live in that God found fault with a covenant of law, because that covenant was based on our ability to keep it, and we can't keep it. Can't keep it regulations. In order to be forgiven, blessed, or safe and secure, healed, there's nothing in us is able to keep even a bit of it. You know, because James 2:10 says this, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has been accountable for all of it. I was sitting this week, Penny and I went out, it was my birthday this week, thank you for your wishes, and I know, turned 40, hard to believe, but I'm sure this decade's going to be awesome. I heard that. And we were sitting, and I don't want to be judgmental, I'm probably going to sound judgmental, but we were sitting in a coffee shop in a place, and we overheard two people talking about the Bible, and everything in me had to just eat my sausage roll and shut up, right, because there was this guy doing his best to explain to this other guy who clearly wanted to know stuff about the word, and he was talking about the deal. Here's the deal. Jesus died for you, right? Now, here's your bit of the deal. You got to do this. You got to, like, it says so in the word. So Jesus died for you, but, like, I'm not making it up. It says here, right, take up your cross. It says here, you will be this. You will be that. So see all this lovey-dovey stuff? Waving his finger, and I was like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel, take the wheel. I was thinking, it's my birthday. I'm out for a wee walk with Penny. This is not a time to call some random stranger and go, stop talking nonsense. And listen, mate, I don't know who he is, but he's absolutely just full of nonsense. All right? But it's this thing of going, like, I wanted to go, part of me wanted to go and just poke him in the eye and go, right, now listen to me. Penny was talking about something. I was not paying attention. But you know, when they're sitting in the coffee shop beside you, like, you can't help yourself. So I thought, what would be the best? In my head, Penny's talking about maybe a furniture, we need to get the carpet and whatever. And I'm thinking, the best way to help this boy out is I'm going to go and poke him in the eye. Like, physically, just right in there, like, oh, that'll hurt him, right? And then go, are you annoyed with me? You're going to hell. James 2:10 says, you've just been angry with me. That's like murder, and you're going to hell. Because that's the truth, right? Your own self-righteousness puffed up, going, oh, I keep the deal. No, you don't. You're like the children of Israel standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, going, whatever you ask us to do, we can do it. No, you can't. Wise up, you plonker. This is a generation of grace, right? Two eyes I got there just to get him really riled up and go, oh, you're angry. Anger, that's just the same as murder, according to Jesus. Don't think there's any murderers unrepentant going to be in heaven. You're doomed, my friend. Anyway, enjoy your sausage roll. Move on, do you know? God found fault with it. He looked at him and went, you can't do it. Break one wee bit, you've broken it all. Right? You've broken it all. It really does deal a blow to any part of your thinking, right, that has any bit of self-righteousness in it, because you're not possible to be blessed under that covenant. That's why he says in Hebrews 8:13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what has become an obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away. It's no longer fit for purpose. That's what it means. Okay? God doesn't apply that standard to you today. And actually, we can see that the generation that Joseph and Benjamin, what happens there is that's the generation that we're a part of. There was something different, right? So, shall we get into it? Are you ready for this? Because I'm absolutely rubbish. I will get confused during this. Do you know why? Because there are people in this world, like Penny's really good at birthdays. She doesn't even have to write them down. She remembers them all, like kids and all. No, that not even our own kids. I even forget their birthdays. But, you know, she'll go, oh, no, him, he's a June birthday. And I go, how do you know that stuff? How do you, anyway. But there's people who know family relationships as well, don't they? Oh, that's his brother's cousin's sister-in-law. I'm like, whoa, stop. I get, you know, beyond my immediate family, I don't understand it. Well, that's his cousin's brother's sister was saying to me. And I'm going, brothers, cousins, sister. Do you know what I said to somebody recently? I said, my wife's father-in-law is really good at that. And he went, what, your dad? And I went, aye, him. I can totally confused. I was going, that's right, that is my dad. That is my, right enough, well done. I was going, see, some of you were a bit slow in the uptake as well. I said, how my mother, my wife's father-in-law bought her a drill one here for Christmas. I mean, your dad bought her one. Aye. Brilliant. So, do you know what I mean? So I don't get this, but let's just go with this, right, for 1 minute. Because sometimes the Bible's a wee bit like this. But what you're going to see is, do you want to see how God works grace into a situation so that when you stand with those that you love, this is a generation that will not be shown judgment, but because of Jesus, if they receive, they'll be shown favor. Now, we all know Abraham is the father of faith, right? He believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham has a son called Isaac and his wife is called Rebekah. Abraham, Isaac, and then we get to Jacob. Jacob is the father of Joseph, the one that we've been talking about. Now, Jacob has it's like EastEnders. Jacob has two wives. Anyone know who they're called? Rachel and Leah, or Leah. Now, this is really important because this is how we know that we are part of a generation of God's grace. Right? This is the picture that God has for you today. So Jacob, right, back in the day, he was tricked. He wanted to marry Rachel because she was gorgeous. Right, but Laban, who was the dad, he decided to trick Jacob to marrying Leah, who was the older sister. Now, you might know the story. He actually worked for 7 years thinking that he was going to get Rachel, but he got Leah. Now, he really loved Rachel, and he ends up marrying her as well. Now, in the Bible, Rachel is a picture of grace, and Leah, who is Rachel's sister, is a picture of the law. Now, not good and bad, but just grace and law. And we'll see that in a number of ways. But what you're going to see is that the purpose of God in your life is only ever birthed through promise and grace and not through your effort. Do you understand me? When God is calling you to purpose, to bring you to a place where you impact your family, impact your neighbors, see them, you know, impacted with the grace of Jesus, right? That only ever happens through God's favor and not because you're working your tail off. So let me see this. So let me tell you about Leah. So Leah represents law. Now, she was the oldest. She comes first, like the law. Remember, the law was given, right? So the law comes. And in Belfast parlance, she was not a looker, according to the Bible. She was ugly. She was called weak of eye, right? Which in my, I don't know, I'm just kind of making this up going, she probably wasn't an oil painting. It's probably the way that the Bible's describing this, all right? You love Belfast expressions, don't you? She was beat with the ugly stick, whatever way you want to put it, all right? If you've ever heard that one. Now, Jacob marries the wrong, sorry about that. If you're watching online, you're thinking, what is he talking about? It's kind of a Belfast thing, right? So, old weak of eye Leah. I don't know if that's what she looked like, But poor old Jacob, he marries the wrong one. He marries the wrong one. How on earth did you marry the ugly older sister? Like, that's a question I have, right? You know what I mean? You go, there's old weak of eye. I mean, you probably go, that's not the one I fancy. I fancy the younger one. She's way nicer, right? But in those days, what happened, now this is really cool. What happens was Jacob didn't get to remove the veil from the bride. Okay, so he was blinded to his blessing. You get that? There was a veil. And the veil means that you can't see properly. 2 Corinthians 3, 14 to 18 says this, their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that's the law, you do this, you do that, you do the other, the same veil remains unlifted. Because only through Christ is it taken away. Yet to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. What that means is, even today, whenever we read the law, you shall, you shall not, okay? That is God's law. But what happens is, there is a veil on people's hearts. They cannot see the blessing. Do you get that? It's like they can't see through that to see what actually lies underneath, which is grace, right? So, when you turn to the Lord, what happens? When you turn to grace, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all now, under grace, with an unveiled face, we can see the glory of the Lord. We can see his grace. And because we can see his face, we are being changed into that image. Isn't that beautiful? So if you wonder what was Jacob, was he a bit stupid? Slowing the uptake? No, she was veiled. The law puts a veil between you, and what you can see. So what that essentially means is this, is the law blinds you to see properly so that you miss out on blessing. But what Paul's writing there in 2 Corinthians is, thank God, we are now unveiled. We are able to see clearly grace. Now, the actual name Leah is interesting. It means weary. So old, weary, weak of eye. You know, so they're not really painting a good picture here, are they? All right. But the name weary in Hebrew is actually, now listen to me, this is what the law does. Do you know what it actually means? It's a progression of being ground down over time. She represents trying to get love, obtain love and blessing through performance. I'll show you that in a minute. Do you know why? Leah wasn't stupid. In fact, she wasn't bad. But she knew that Jacob had only married her because he had been tricked into it. And she actually knew that in his heart he wanted Rachel. So Leah's insecure. She wasn't grounded in love. She didn't know that she was loved. So in her position, what does she do? God love her. She tries to churn out sons at a rate of knots. She tries to win the affection of Jacob by giving him sons. And that was a big deal in those days. She was in competition with Rachel, her sister, because Jacob loved Rachel. But Leah, over a period of time, just gets ground down. When you live under law, see, trying to please God, it will grind you down over time to a point where you're exhausted because you know that no matter what you do, you're not loved anyway. And Jesus says to this generation, no, you're unveiled and you're going to see my grace and my blessing. Amen. Now, I kind of feel for her, all right? I know I'm kind of having a bit of a, it's okay to have a wee bit of a laugh, isn't it? I mean, she'll probably be raging when we get to heaven. She goes, see you, you cheeky hallion, or whatever. Hopefully she's been healed. But anyway, but I feel for her. She's doing all that she can in the hope to receive something that she can never earn. Do you see the picture? Do you see the picture? Now, you're going to see why Joseph connects with his brother Benjamin, why we then can understand, okay, for this purpose, God has raised me up to show grace to this generation. Now, Rachel, on the other hand, Rachel means you, not you, but E-W-E, like a wee thing. A lamb, a wee lamb. It's like one of those things called those fluffy things, like a wee lamb, right? So there's a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's going pigs, cows, definitely not that. Lambs, right? Now, she was younger. Now, we are told she had a beautiful figure. She was very pretty as well. And Jacob loved the bones of her. He absolutely loved her. He didn't love both of them. He married Leah, but he didn't love her. Right? It's hard to love something which just demands, isn't that right? You know, it's hard to love the law, isn't it? Because it's not what we were made for. Who gets up every morning going, I'm going to self-flagellate here and going to just really try my best and 613 commandments. I can't wait to get stuck into those. We don't love it, do we? Because it just ends in failure. But Rachel, now, here's the thing about Rachel. She's this picture of the Lamb of God, the ewe. And she wasn't perfect. I love this. She wasn't perfect anyway. That's not the point. It's not that Rachel was good and Leah was bad. That's not the point. It's not good and bad as we see it, but about law and grace. Actually, Rachel's barren. She can't produce children. And so there's a lack of fruitfulness, but she is loved. That's really important. Now, Jacob, as we know, has fathered boys with Leah because she's churning them out at a rate of knots, basically. All right? Rachel, looking at this, tries to take it into her own hands because she wants to give Jacob sons. So, actually, she produces, two sons, Dan and Naphtali, with servants, right? Dan and Naphtali mean judgment and struggle. When you take something, when God has promised you grace and God has promised you favor in your life, when he says, you're a judgment, a generation that will stand before me and not receive judgment, but you will receive my favor. When you take that into your hand because you're trying to make it happen, the result is judgment and bitterness. Because it doesn't work. Judgment on yourself and on God and on others, and the root of bitterness then comes up in your heart. That's the picture here. Now, what happens then? She was loved. Rachel is loved. She's still trying to earn it. And so she gives the fruit, in one sense, that she gives birth to out of her own struggle is judgment and bitterness. Now, the barrenness is overcome, and she gives birth to another two boys. One is called Joseph, right? Joseph, the one that we've been talking about. And Joseph, his name means the Lord will increase. Actually, built into his Hebrew name is the world, is the whole thing of savior of the world. That's why we know this picture of Jesus. So in Joseph's Hebrew name, it's the savior of the world, but the Lord will increase. And Benjamin, which is the son of the right hand. So what happens is Rachel gives birth to these two boys. Now, what's interesting is the result in your life. What's the whole point? Here's what we see. Benjamin and Joseph are the fruit of love, and the result is favor. Joseph goes on to get promoted, and his entire family are saved, right? And I guess what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, like, the result in your life, when God is speaking to you through this series and speaking to you about receiving grace upon grace in your life, what that will give birth to in your life will just be, will not be bitter and the result of judgment. It'll be fruitful and full of favor. Because when you try to do things with law, the fruit of it's never very good. Now, you've with me so far? Is this teachy enough? Right? So, Joseph, the one that we've been talking about, is Jacob's favorite. That's why we know that. That's why the brothers got jealous, bitter, and angry, and murderous, and they threw him into the pit. Now, what's the whole point? What we're starting to see is this, is that they start to get jealous. Why? Because whilst they may have the same father, they've got a different mother. Do you get it? One born of the law, one born of grace. Whenever you are starting to, this is always the struggle that will happen in your life. It's not between actually good and bad. It's between law and grace. Where there is favor in your life, and favor is unearned, it's unearned, it's unmerited favor in your life. Whenever that is there, the law will always come against it. The legalists will attack you. All right? And that's why we have to cast out as much as we can, receive grace upon grace in order to cast law out of our lives. That's the whole point. So Benjamin, the son of the right hand, has the same father as Joseph, but a different mother. And Benjamin is this last end time generation of people, you and I, who when they stand before God, receive grace. Now, what I would probably say is that I'm going to unpack this more next week, right, in the actual interactions that go on between Benjamin and Joseph, so that you can understand how does Jesus deal with us today? What does grace actually look like, and how Joseph deals with, you know, the 10 brothers, never mind Benjamin, right? But I think enough to say to you today, look, whenever, in terms of your purpose and where you're going and what your life looks like, I suppose the thing for me is to say to you today that God has raised you up, right? And like in years gone past, for this purpose, your family, your loved ones, and those people that you know are part of a generation where God has said, I will mark them with my favor, but they're expecting nothing but judgment. And he says to you today, I've called you into this place. I've put breath in your bones and brought you to this place in 2022 for this time, and it's not an accident. For years, I have been working grace behind the scenes. Do you see that? It wasn't just like you might think, flip me, I've arrived here, but God has always been looking at your family and your loved ones and moving into position and into place everything that they need to encounter not judgment but grace. And you are part of it. You understand that? That's why God has put breath in your body today. That's what you're a part of. And there's going to be a moment, and there's going to be a time, I think, I think it's this time, actually. I think that right now, that if you are still in a mindset or in a heart set of, you know, the thing about Leah was that she was tired and she was weary. Why? Because she was just trying to earn it. She was just trying to earn God's goodness and God's grace in her life. And she's trying to get into Jacob's good books. Jacob becomes Israel, the 12 sons of the 12 tribes. That's the picture, right? Here she is. There's nothing wrong with her. Not a looker, so what? But she's just desperately trying to get into favor by currying favor, by producing, by working hard, and she can't do it. And she's just dog tired. The imperfect Rachel, just because she's blessed, because she's favored, produces fruit in her life, which goes on to save her family and the generations to come. I want to think about your family today. Think about your loved ones. Think about those people who you know who are not yet saved, who don't know Jesus. And ask yourself the question, you know, not what am I doing, because that's not the point, but do you see that what you're called for is for them to come, right? Or for us maybe to go to them and to extend the hand of grace and the heart of grace to them and to show them again that this is not a time where God is angry with them, upset with them. This is not a time where God is trying to beat them over the head. But at this time in this generation, he just wants to show his grace and his love and his favor to them. Do you get that? Because that's why you have breath today. Let me just finish. I'm going to say one thing to set up next week. What we see here is like, you know, God is a God of a miraculous turnaround. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Joseph, we know, goes from the pit to the prison to the palace. I talked about that last week. And he finds himself now in a place where he can save his whole family, right? And what we're going to see next week is that Joseph tells him to leave the one of the brothers behind. So basically what they do is they come in front of Joseph. Joseph goes, no, listen, I'm going to show you grace. I'm going to extend you favor. But he says, what we're going to do is, in order, how's your dad, basically, is what he asks. Brothers, he asks about the family. He takes one of the brothers, Simeon, and says, Simeon has to stay here, basically, as collateral. So go back, get Benjamin, get the younger brother, bring him back, right? Loads of imagery around that. And he says, I'm not giving you your son, this brother back unless you bring me Benjamin. Now, there's tons of imagery around that. But essentially what happens then, I'm going to tee this up for next week, is they all go back. Jacob goes, what the heck? They run out of food. They've got to go back down into Egypt. They go, we can't go back down because we need to bring Benjamin. We didn't want to bring Benjamin because we knew that it would upset you. Jacob says, let's go, right? Go and get the food. And they bring Benjamin down. And in that interaction, God just super blesses Benjamin as a picture of the last generation with five times more than everybody else. The picture of grace. He gets five times more food, five times more clothing, and everything else. And I guess what we're trying to say is this, you know, Jacob didn't want to give up Benjamin. He'd already lost Joseph. He'd lost Simeon. And he says in Genesis 42, all of this has come against me. And what he doesn't realize is that when there's something going on that it seems like it's against you, have faith that God will turn that around because he's not stopped working for your good. The last thing I want to say to you today. When it looks like there's things that are working against you today, have faith, have trust that this is not a generation of law and judgment, but you're in a generation of favor. And even when you can't see it working, he is working. He is behind the scenes. He is moving the right people into the right place at the right time so that they will see the goodness of God and their lives will be changed forever. Jacob really had a problem here. He's going, I've got to send. I'm not giving up Benjamin, not a chance. And Joseph says, bring him to me. Some of you right now go, I don't know how God's working this out. I can't see it. I can't understand it. I don't know what it's like. How's it going to all come together? Okay. But what we don't realize is, or what Jacob didn't realize at that point, was that what was actually happening. It wasn't just that the Lord was going to bring it through for him. Like, you know, he was actually saving the best for him. Do you get, somebody listen to me here. It's not that God is just going to come through. Jacob didn't realize that when going back to Egypt, that actually he would get the best of the land. He would get the best of the provision. He would get the best of the bounty. Because this was a generation of God's grace. Amen. I hope that encourages you this morning. Teachy? Probably. But it's good to know that, because then next week I can go over all the details dead quick and not need to worry about them. But what we need to understand, just let me quickly summarize this. If you're watching online, I just want to encourage you. This generation that we're a part of is the Benjamin generation. It's fully baked into the story of Joseph. I actually believe that this is the Benjamin generation, the son of the right hand. It's the place of favor, right? The right hand is the place of favor. And we'll show you how his name changes next week. That's a really interesting thing. His name actually changes. Rachel changes his name. But you are now seated, spiritually speaking, as in the place of favor. And for you and for your family, if you can't see it, hang in there. Stay in faith, because you are part of a generation where God says, no judgment, only favor. Only favor. And that's why you've been raised up. That's why you have breath in your body. That's why you have purpose. And if you can't see it, remind yourself tomorrow morning, but he's got the best for me. Amen.